That's one of my favorite songs, by the way. Somebody told me one time that that song was not biblical because you sing it about an anchor. But obviously they hadn't figured out that the anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said it never said nothing about God, but that's not true. I can't remember exactly where it is in there, but it does mention about God. And I tell you, I love that song. And I'm glad today that my soul is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come to church and you hear singing and hopefully some preaching, it ought to stir your heart and make you get excited. I tell you, we come to church and sometimes we come like we're half dead. We leave like we are dead, and we just don't seem to get too excited. But I tell you tonight, today, we've got the most exciting book to preach. We've got the most exciting things we can do as we serve the Lord and are faithful to Him. And I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 7. While you're doing that, I know I'm not a good Baptist preacher because I have for the last several weeks failed to say that the offering plates are on the table in the back. We're not passing them, but we still have offering plates. And if you'd like to contribute, you just put some in on the way in or out. And I just wanted you to know where it's at. Nobody's obligated, of course, to give, except between you and the Lord. But again, this there for your giving. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be able to give back to God what He's given to us. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the tale of two builders. The tale of two builders. I think all of us are familiar with the passage of Scripture. I'll begin reading verse number 24 and I'll read through the end of the chapter. The Bible said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the heat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell." Notice, "and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes." That's interesting. He has all authority and all power given unto him. Before I pray, I want to go back and look at verse 22 and 23. I want you to understand the importance of this passage. This is not talking about a storm that we have in life. We may consider the coronavirus a storm, but that's not what it's talking about here. This passage of Scripture is speaking about the judgment of God upon people who do not have a firm foundation. Verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity. What a joy it is to be able to stand and once again declare the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for all those who have gathered today. We thank you, Lord, for the attendance being up, and I pray that you would bless our time together this morning. I pray that you would anoint my lips, Lord, that you would give me the words that you'd have me to say. Help me to refrain from that which I should not say. And Father, I pray today that we'd all leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, I ask now that you would give us wisdom, strength, and help, and we'll thank you now for what you're going to do and what you will do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Somebody said the Leaning Tower of Pisa is going to fall. Now, thinking along those lines, scientists have traveled to Pisa, the Tower of Pisa, every year to measure its slow descent. It's called the Leaning Tower of Pisa for a reason. It's leaning, and it continues to lean. In fact, they reported the 179-foot tower, which was built in 1173, that was right before I was born, no, I'm just kidding, 1173, moves, now it's been there a long time, so I don't know, well anyway, let me go on with my thing here. It moves about 1/20th of an inch a year, but right now is 17 feet out of plumb. Now I don't know about you, but a 179-foot tower leaning 17 feet out of plumb, I would think is a serious problem. But recent renovations may have saved the 810-year-old tower to prevent it from collapsing. Quite significantly, they went in and have shored some things up, and hopefully now they've got it under control. But what's interesting is the word Pisa, P-I-S-A. You know what it means? It means marshy land. which gives us some clue as to why the tower's leaning in the first place. And so even before it was completed, it already started leaning because it had a bad foundation. And friend, today there's nothing any more important in our lives than to have a firm foundation when we're building for the Lord Jesus Christ. Another issue of fact, and listen to this. The foundation of the Tower of Pisa is only 10 feet deep. Now, for a 179-foot tower, 10 feet is not very far. We built this gym down here. We hired an architect to tell us what we needed. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe that gym will be there when nothing else is. He overshot the runway or something, but he made us dig holes. I think they was about 10 by 10, and we had to pour concrete about five or six feet, I forget, in about four different places. The inspector, when he came to inspect it, he shook his head. He said, man, this is an overkill. I said, well, at least it's going to be there, and I'm grateful for that. But obviously the gym down there has got a good foundation, even if the Tower of Pisa don't. But I'm not interested this morning so much in the Tower of Pisa. I've never been there, probably never will go there. And no matter what happens, I hope it don't fall. But I can say this, I want to show you in the Bible what the Bible has to say about two builders who build a house, but they build it based on what Jesus had said to them, at least interpreted what they thought Jesus had said to them, and they found that it was a very difficult thing. I want to give you some elements of the parable that show that why the foundation of life matters. Friend, I'm going to tell you, this matter of serving God is not a hit-and-miss situation. It's not a grab it and go, as everything is nowadays. It's not a we'll try it for a little while, and then we'll take a break for a little while, and then what we'll do, we'll do this. Listen, serving God is based upon building on a firm foundation, so when the time comes that the house might be threatened, it will continue to stand. Now, I want you to look with me today. We have two illustrations here. I read it in the Scripture. We have one man that built his house upon the rock, and Jesus said, he did what I said. Then we have the man that built his house upon the sand, and he's called a foolish man. But I want you to notice some comparisons about these two men in the Bible. Now, Jesus points out some very important characteristics that they have in common. These men had some things very much in common. First of all, both heard the word of Christ. It makes no difference today what we do, but what we need to understand is we need to hear the word of God. You can take a man, you can take two men, let's just say two men walk in this morning, and I preach the word of God. One of them gets under conviction, gets saved, and serves the Lord the rest of his life. The other comes in, hears the same message, but he walks out of here rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, refusing to believe on him and refusing to follow him and live for him. But what happened? They heard the same words. And again, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about what they hear from the Word of God, because when I preach, I pray it's the Spirit of God that's speaking through me. Yet we find that his message was a message of faith and repentance. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him like a wise man which built his house upon the rock. Verse number 26. And everyone that heareth these, well, excuse me, let me get down here to verse number 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So both of the men heard the word of God. I want to say today our churches are filled with people that have heard the word of God, but they've responded in a different way. Some people have gotten on fire, got saved, genuinely saved. And by the way, I'm not trying to be a pessimist this morning, but I still contend today that the majority of church people, many of them still have never been born again by the Spirit of God. I believe today just because we go to church doesn't mean that we're going to go to heaven. We're only going to go to heaven because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But these men heard the word of God. They heard it from the Lord himself as he gave the illustration. The second thing we noticed that they had in common, both of them built a house. Now, they built a house based on the understanding of what Jesus said. Now, the wise man was much wiser than the foolish man because he understood what Jesus said in verse 24, that he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. Let me tell you, the whole premise of building the house for the wise man is I have to obey the Lord.
I have to do what God tells me to do. I have to be faithful to Him. And if I do that, I've got my house built on a foundation that will stand all the storms of life, and it will help me through everything. The foolish man, he said, I don't have time. Let me just, this is the only thing, the way I can relate. I've never done any building, but we built the gym. The pad out there for that gym, now I ain't talking about concrete. I'm talking about just dirt, and getting it packed down was $21,000. You say, wow, that's a lot of money. It was, but listen, they brought it in. We had to build it because there was a hill. That's why it took so much dirt. But I'm telling you, they rode over that thing, and they packed it, and they packed it some more, and they packed it some more. And then the inspector come, and he stuck some things down in the ground, and he come back, made them pack it some more, made them dig out a spot and put some more in there to be sure that it was firm. The foolish man said, I don't have time for that. I need a house, and I need it now. So I'm just going to go ahead. I know what the Lord said, but I believe I'll just go ahead and build my house. And you know, that house of the foolish man is a parable of many people in this life today. Rather than understanding the importance of having a deep, firm foundation, each man has built a life based upon how they interpreted what Jesus said. Now, I believe that both men, to some point, believed that they were doing what Jesus said, but really and truly, we know the wise man was the only one that was doing it because God called him wise, and he called the other foolish. Both men built houses in the same location. You say, where do you get that? Well, listen what it said in verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You said, well, I don't see where it said they were together. Well, I'm just taking some assumptions here. I'm not trying to add to the Word of God, but I assume it was the same storm that came to the foolish man's house and the rich man's house probably at the same time. So I would believe that they were in the same proximity of one another anyway, and it describes the very severe storms, and both of these storms affected both houses, so they must have been in the proximity of one another. Both built similar houses. I don't know if they still do it anymore, but years ago, I remember they used to go in subdivisions, and they would build houses just alike. They call them spec houses, and they'd build them just alike. They may put the carport on one end or maybe on the other end. They may reverse something, but the literal floor plan was the same. I just assume that in that day that probably, I don't know exactly how they did what they did, but I believe that the houses, their houses were not being different. I believe they were as similar as they could be. They probably used similar material. They probably had a similar design. From the outside, they looked like. But in fact, they were so similar, you might not even be able to tell them apart. If you were going down the street, you may not know that this one had a better foundation than the other. They all was pretty and looked good. And this picture is a picture of how people respond differently to the gospel message. Friend, this is not talking about a storm that disrupts our life. This is talking about the judgment that will come at the end of this life when we stand before God and give an account of our life and what we've done. Just to clarify, the gospel is very simple. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." Now, this is the message that has to be believed in order for a person to be saved. No man, woman, boy, girl has ever been born again apart from believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And understand, Jesus died for their sin. He said in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible puts it that way, but salvation is as simple as believing the gospel. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart. And I'm glad today that one day I did that in my life. And let me tell you something. If you've done that, if you've trusted Christ, if you know you're saved, listen, you've got your foundation set to begin building. But those that were in too big a hurry to take care of the main initiative, and I'm going to tell you today, I believe there's churches, and I don't have any church in mind, But I'm convinced today there's churches all over the world today that are preaching some kind of social gospel or something, and they're just telling you need to be good, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And they ought to be preaching the gospel, because, friend, you can take a person and they can think they're saved, but everything they do, all the works they get involved in building their house, will be destroyed when judgment comes and they build upon the sand. So people hear the message, they react in different ways. Regardless of how a person react, they're building their lives on the way they thought Jesus warned them to. I've seen people that have come to our church, and for years they've been misled. They've sat under a ministry that did not teach the truth of the Bible, did not teach salvation as it is. And they come and just say, "Preacher, I just don't know. I don't know how many times in my ministry, and this has nothing to do with me. I'm just doing what God called me to do." But I have people because I'm a preacher. If what you're preaching is true, then I don't know that I've really been saved. Friend, you cannot begin to build your Christian life until you have the foundation of your Christian life established in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that you're born again. That is the weather. They weather the storms when the storms come, do the same jobs. But yet, these people, here's two men. One built on the sand, one built on the rock. They go to church together. They work together. They hear the same preaching together. They live much of the same kind of lives together. And from the outside, you can't tell much of a difference. But friend, when the storm comes, when judgment comes, that he talked about in the verses prior, we'll see what happens. That's the comparison. Not the only difference. One was foolish, one was wise. One built on the rock, one built on the sand. And the one that built on the sand, judgment fell on that day. The second thing I want you to notice is consider the contrast. Now, while there's similarities, there's some major differences between these two types of people. One man built his house on the sand. One man built his house with little preparation. Like I said a while ago, he kind of got in a hurry. He found a spot for his house, and he began to build. I'm afraid sometimes in literal building, that's been my problem. You know, my problem is if you ever had stuff for the kids that had to be put together, I was bad about putting it together before I read the instructions. And then I had to take it all apart and redo it again. And probably some of you have been right there where I have, and you understand that. And that's kind of like that foolish man. I try to be wiser in my old age and let somebody else put it together. But anyway, I've tried the best I can, but sand literally offers no stability. Sand is unstable, it's changing, it's moving. The sand is not a good place to build a house. It cannot provide the foundation that it needs to provide. In this context, building on the sand speaks of people who hear the gospel, but instead of believing the gospel and coming to faith, they believe that they can build on some shifting sands of human philosophy, upon wisdom, upon their opinion, or their religious achievements. Friend, everybody today's got an opinion. I got an opinion, but you know what? Our opinion doesn't matter. Only what God's Word says is what really makes a difference in our life. They are driven by outward religious appearances and faith in themselves rather than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have to get to the point in our life to where we have to say, only through Christ can I do anything. Without Him, I can do nothing. And I tell you, when we begin to understand that, we'll realize and understand that then, and then only, will we be getting to the point of accepting that firm foundation and being saved by the grace of God. Faith in themselves rather than faith in God. Let me tell you something. I have absolutely no faith in myself. And I tell you today, none of us ought to have any. And I don't say that in a way. I think all of us needs to understand we need to be as faithful as we can to the Lord. But I'm telling you, if I'm dependent on me getting myself to heaven, I'm in trouble. But I'm telling you, I'm going to depend on the Lord to do it. People who build on the sand hear the gospel, and they choose to live to themselves. To hear the gospel, they believe a general message, but they choose to follow God on their own terms. It's amazing to me how people can take the Bible and make it say what they want to say. They can pick one little verse out over here, one little verse out over there, and they can say, "See, here's what the Bible said." No, what you got to do is read the Bible in the context for which it's written and understand the truth of what God is trying to say. His Word is open to interpretation, but then He commands us to do what He's commanded us to do according to His Word. They build the house of their lives on self-will. Self-fulfillment, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, and self-righteousness. In fact, we live in a very selfish world. And those people that build on the sand, they fall right in line with these things in their life. They're, you know, I live for self. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yet today we live in a self-willed society. I want to be satisfied. Friend, I tell you today, if you're a child of God, you all ought to want Jesus to be satisfied. Their works is based on a religion that has appearance of being right, but it lacks the power to save their soul. I know some people today that are good people, and from the outside, they look just as saved as anybody. In fact, I'm not a judge of who's not and who is, but I can tell you one thing. You may fool people on the outside, but God knows what kind of foundation you've laid prior to this. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. People build on the sand because it's easy. You know, if you're not careful, we want our churches to be convenient. We want, you know, let's, come on, preacher. You know, and I'm not getting on to y'all that kid me about time. I know y'all kidding, right? But we ought not be worried about time, literally. I mean, I'm not going to keep preaching because I know I'm going to lose you somewhere along the line pretty quick, so I'm not going to be too long. But you know, we got to go to dinner. What's with hearing the Word of God and letting God speak to our heart? Just whatever's easy, just a little change here and a little change there. Well, that's not what the Bible said. It said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He said, for we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body, which is His. A life built on the sand, listen, requires no commitment, no sacrifice, and unfortunately, no faith. People who build on the sand believe they can pray a prayer, sign a card, be baptized, join the church, and buddy, they've got their foundation. This church can never give you the foundation you need unless you get it through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for your sin. I tell you, you can sign every card in every church in town. You can be baptized 15 to 20 times. You can go through it, but I'm going to tell you, all you are doing is you're going down a dry center and coming up a wet center. And until you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord, you're building some foolish things in your life. If your foundation has not been secured, people who build on the sand can turn it on and turn it off just like flipping a switch. They can be in today and out tomorrow and again in the next day. Sand builders ultimately have faith in themselves rather than God. When God makes demands on sand builders and calls for total surrender of His will, they make excuses. I'm going to dig this up one day. Years ago, I heard a fellow. It's kind of a country thing. He plays guitar. Maybe that's why I like it. But he sings song excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. We need to get that and play it sometime. I tell you today, I never heard so many excuses in all my life. But Jesus encountered the way, the very thing during His ministry. Listen to what He said. He said in Luke 9:57-62, and it came to pass that as they went on their way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Here's some men that were building on the sand. Make all kinds of excuses. I'm going to serve God one day. When I get a little bit more time, I'm going to serve Him. You know, listen, your time for service may be up soon if the Lord comes back, and it'll be all over. People who build their lives on religion, self-righteousness, and false hope, they're not going to serve God. They're not going to serve God. They will not sacrifice. They only walk the easy path. Sand builders like instant results. They want instant rewards. They want instant satisfaction. They want instant pleasure. They are shallow people who love the heights, but they hate the depths. They're hot and then they're cold. They're in, then they're out. They're up and then they're down. These are the people that build on the sand. But thank the Lord for the other man. He was quite a wise builder. The Bible said he built his house upon the rock. The word rock refers to a large outcropping of rock, the bedrock. While one man built his house on the sand, the other dug deep. He dug until he reached the bedrock and built his house on the rock. The rock does not move. The rock is unchanging. The rock is stable. And might I just add right here, the rock is Jesus. Building on the rock speaks of people who hear the gospel and they believe it to the point that they respond and build their lives on it. The rock is the gospel. It's the same rock mentioned in Matthew 16. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the rock refers to Jesus. It's talking about the profession of faith to the words of Jesus when Peter said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Friend, today, if you build your house on anything other than the rock that's Jesus Christ, there's going to be failure. Rock builders understand that Jesus alone has the power to save. Rock builders hear the word of God, and they conform their lives to it. I like what Romans 12, 1 and 2, it said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here it is. But be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. The world takes up the majority of our time. And Jesus said that he ought to have preeminence, didn't he? Shouldn't Christ and the church and the work be first and foremost in everything we do? After all, he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Rock builders, you know what they hear? They hear, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Man, that message strikes them like a bolt of lightning. It comes into their heart with absolute clarity. They hear the truth about Jesus. They believe it. They embrace it. They yield to it. And the message changes their life. I like what the songwriter said. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What God tells them to do in his word, they do it. They're rock builders. What God warns them not to do, they don't do. They avoid it. They're rock builders. They pay the price. They walk any path. They do anything the Lord tells them to do. The house built on the rock is built by someone who realizes that God deserves their best. Friend, today, he deserves everything we have. They sacrifice. I'm talking about people that are saved and born again, building on the right foundation. They sacrifice. They work. They'll do anything to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And might I add, it don't have to be some big thing that everybody thinks about. But the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. They sacrifice. They work. They do anything to honor the Lord. They love him. They honor him. They obey him. The rock builder's obedience to the word of God proves they love God. Rock builders hear the word of God. They hear the gospel. They accept Christ and they establish the foundation to build their house upon. The Bible said in 1 John 2:3-6, and by the way, this is how you can know the rock builders. He said, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Isn't that what he told the wise man? He said, if you build on the rock and you do the things that I commanded you, then you'll be all right. But he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So there's two people. Vastly different lives. Two different houses, although they seem similarly the same. The whole problem was there wasn't nothing wrong with the man's house. that built on the sand, except it was built on the sand. And I think today his house probably was just as good as the man's on the rock, had it been on the right foundation. These houses describe the kind of life you're building right now. Here again is the clear message. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 16:31 said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who or what is the foundation of your life? Who or what are you building on? Are you building your life on the solid rock of the gospel? Are you building your life on shifting sand? Thirdly and lastly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but consider the consequences. One built on the rock, one built on the sand, and the parable tells us that the rains came, the floods followed, and the winds of destruction blew. Now again, I've already said this is not a picture of a storm in life. That's not a sickness or COVID or nothing. It's not talking about that kind of storm. It's talking about the image of judgment in the end, when both houses were subjected to a terrible storm of judgment. This old house is where the Holy Spirit dwells. And one day, God's going to require an answer in my life. This house was built on the sand because it could not face the withering judgment of God, and it collapsed. And notice what it said in verse 27, and great was the fall of it. Friend, for a man to die and go to hell, it's going to be a great tragedy. This means the house was utterly destroyed. There was nothing left to show for the life that was lived within. There was nothing left of the hopes and the dreams and the plans and the efforts and the work, and everything was destroyed and swept away as it never existed. This is a picture of what will happen to every person who builds their life on anything but Jesus Christ and the gospel. I knew a man some time ago. He went down to the beach. I believe it might have been Panama City. I'm not sure exactly where it was. And he built him a beautiful home right down on the water. He bought him a Harley motorcycle. And this is a true story, by the way. And he got him one of them, I think it was a BMW sports car with a hardtop convertible. And I tell you, buddy, he was set. I mean, he had everything. But guess what? A storm come. Talked to him one day. I said, what's left? He said, nothing. I said, no, I mean, is your foundation? Saying, no, nothing. He said, everything's gone. I said, what about your motorcycle? He said, never seen it again. What about your car? Oh, we found it, but it's full of sand and water, and it's no good anymore. And again, I'm not saying that man, I don't know who built his house, and you know, I'm not saying he's a foolish man, because I don't know if somebody's willing to do that. But obviously, he didn't have as good a foundation. And sometimes when you put yourself in the way of storm, and I believe that's kind of the way it was with the man that built his house on the sand, there's coming a day of judgment when every person will face God. People who are trusting religion, people that are trusting in good works, people that think just because they prayed a prayer that saved them. And I do believe you can be saved by praying a prayer. But the man said, with the heart, man believeth in righteousness. If you based it on some emotional experience you had, or even a profession that you made, or anything else, you'll see that house crumble and fall when the storm comes. Notice in verse 24, where we started, what's the first word there? Therefore. You know what he's talking about? We just read them before we started, didn't we? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. The house that built on the rock experienced the same storm. The rain, the flood, the wind beat upon the house. The word beat means to strike or batter. Again, this house stood because it was built on the Word of God. This house stood because the builder dug deep, and he built on something greater than himself. The builder built his house on and finished the work on the Lord Jesus Christ. The builder believed the gospel. The builder understood that Jesus died for his sins, rose from the dead, and had the power to save anyone who would believe on him. The person built his life on Jesus was accepted by God. That's how it works, my friend. You must be born again.
you must know you're saved. I don't know how many people I've seen through the years that have gotten saved, thought they were saved, but preacher, I joined the church. Well, preacher, my friend went forward, and I didn't want to go to hell. I went forward too, but nobody showed me what to do. And I just joined the church, and I thought I was going to heaven. My friend, joining the church, being baptized, being a good person, all those things, I already talked about them. You can build your house on atheism. You can build it on human wisdom, human philosophies, anything else you can name, and you'll still die and go to hell if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The person that built his house on the sand did not intend for his house to fall. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was building a house that would stand against anything that came. He has confidence that his house will stand, but he was wrong. The lesson today is if you're building your house on anything but Jesus Christ and the gospel, it'll fail. And it might look sturdy. The materials might be right. That might be pleasing to the eye. Everyone else might think that your house is fine. But when the storm comes, it will not stand. We need to understand today that everybody in this room is building a spiritual house. You're attaching boards, you're driving nails, you're adding on rooms. And that's wonderful. As long as you make sure that the foundation has been secured before you started building. Friend, today I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you stand today. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that hear the gospel week in and week out that have never truly been born again by the Spirit of God. And friend, Jesus said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Friend, don't wait another minute without trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity that's ours once again to be able to be in your house. Lord, what an illustration. So much more could have been said, but Lord, here's two men. They thought they had it figured out. One did, but unfortunately, the one that built on the sand didn't. And Lord, I pray today that you would bless us. I pray that you'd open our eyes, our ears, our hearts. Help us to be receptive to the truth of the Word of God. May your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified.